thanks for listening in on the Toad Podcast. My name is Adam, and I am your host. Today we have Terry Langfitt with us. He's a playwriter and composer from the Dallas area, and he relies on computers for sound tuning, communication, and much more. Before we get started, I would like to thank Vegeta Bofosley and Dana Beagle for getting all the equipment for our podcast. We have a lot of other podcasts, too, and you can always listen in at anchor.fm/toad. This episode is the second of our new series, The Tech Life. It talks about how people have to use tech in their jobs and their hobbies, and how tech is really implemented in so many ways in our everyday lives nowadays. And our first episode of the Tech Life series was with programmer William Keating, so you should go listen to that. And this is an exclusive series and is free on some of the listening options. I am also writing a book called This Era, and it's about growing up in the age of technology. And you know, it's funny because I just saw today that Apple put something on their website about musicians using the Mac. And we are going to call this episode Mac for Music. Anyway, moving on. Hello, Terry. How are you doing?
Hey, Adam. What a pleasure to talk to you today.
Yeah, thank you for being on the podcast. Do you mind me asking, what have you been working on recently?
Well, recently we have been working on a brand new musical. The musical is called The Yellow Rose, The Legend of Emily West. Been working on it over a year and a half now with my songwriting partner Paul Gandolfi and with a book writer by the name of Sarah Lawrence, and we are getting ready for an August 5th production read. Now, what a production read is, it's not a musical yet, it's just getting it on its feet for the first time. We have about 19 actors that we have hired. We have a grant from the city of Dallas, and they are throwing in finances to help us do this, and they sing their part, they read their scripts, they just don't act it out, and that's called a production read. And that's where we're at, August 5th at the Salmons Entertainment Center here in Dallas.
Cool. You know, I really love all your music, and I think it was about 2 years ago, it's already been a long time, you came here to San Francisco and to my house, and we had a lot of fun, and you taught me about composition, and it was very fitting since I play the piano. And then, after I got to see your whole setup in Dallas, I was really amazed with everything, and especially with how involved the computers are with your product, with your projects. So I wanted to know what might a typical day look like.
Typical day? Well, I've got a day today. First of all, so you know, we record with an Apple product called Logic Pro, and it is a program where we can sequence sounds, patches, live vocals, live instruments, and you can put them into the computer, watch them on a screen, and then we can edit them. And it's a very cool process because the artists that you bring in can make mistakes, and then we can fix them later. That's what's very convenient about it. The other thing is we can take one or two people, or three or four, and we can make them sound like 100 people if we need to, by layering one on top of another on top of another. An example of that would be the other day, the opening of Act 2, we had to do a battle scene, because it's about San Jacinto and the making of the state of Texas. And so we had horses, we got horses sounds, we got people yelling and hollering and cannons going off and guns and all this stuff mixed in with music, so it sounded like a real battle scene. You couldn't do that, really, years ago because you would have had to have all those people. Well, Paul and I did all the parts, and you wouldn't know that two guys did all that work. Now, it does take a long time. But it's cool.
Yeah, nice. And so you're probably, so you guys at home are probably wondering why this isn't really about the devices that we usually talk about. But we're getting there, and my next question is, what are some of the main, what are, besides Logic Pro, the ways that kind of the technology is connected from something like your piano or your sound systems to the computer?
Well, we do it two ways. One is called MIDI, M-I-D-I, and that basically plays the sounds that are in the computer. The keyboard does the keystrokes. The keystrokes go down the wire, they get in the computer, and they play the very samples and things that are in the computer. That's one way. The other way is we have live instruments, like a real piano or a viola or a flute. We have somebody come in and play those instruments, and they do that into a microphone. And the microphone, of course, goes into the computer, gets digitized, and mixed in with all of the other sounds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see. So how has kind of all this technology changed over the years, and how you can do a lot more with it nowadays?
Well, with the processors now, in the old days you had to have so much RAM in your machine to even play a sound, because sound, when you record it, audio files are very, very large. They're intensive. And over the years, most people listen to MP3s, like on their players and things like that. But for musicians, we have to have higher bit rates than what the normal guy listens to, because there's a fuller, deeper sound. It has to do with things like harmonics, dynamic range, things that make it go high, and things that make it go low.
Okay, I see. So do you use like a Mac Pro or a Mac Mini?
I use a Mac Mini, and Paul does as well. We really have loaded them up, though. Don't let the Mini part of it fool you. Each of us have 16 gigs of RAM running inside our machines. And then the other thing is we have big monitors. Big monitors because the pages that we look at and the streams that we look at are, there's many kinds of streams, and so we have to have a lot of things up on the screen at one time. And so that's one of the things we have to do in order to visually mix the things down.
I see. But you know, Mac Mini, Mac Pro can be used in a lot of different scenarios too.
Sure.
But can we move a kind of out of the Apple and computer genre and move to just overall technology in your studio and in your performances and like systems you use? And it might not even be a computer or a piano. It might be like the speakers, how all the wiring is connected.
Sure. Well, the one thing, for instance, we just had a film clip, actually not a film clip, but a video clip done with an iPhone in the studio yesterday. And it was of people that we had in the studio recording our soundtrack. Well, we put that on to Facebook today, and we've had over 1,000 hits of people who are interested in the show. And so it's every bit as important from the social media side of things, with the phone being your computer and the sound and the video, and now lots of people can see it and do it. As far as the studio itself, we listen to different kinds of speakers and stuff than most people at home. Most people at home want to make their things sound really, really good. But we have to listen to it as clean as we can hear it, because we have to mix it for all kinds of people to listen.
I see. So and as well, social media and other online ways are a good way to advertise what your musicals And that's one other way it's implemented, as well as things like the computer, the sound systems, etc.
Sure.
But I wanted to find out, what advice do you give to people who want to create their own songs, learn music, start acting in plays?
Wow, that's a big question. I've been doing it for many, many, many years. So my songwriting partner and I, Paul Gandolfi, we've been writing together, I think this is our 15th or 16th year of writing music together. And it's kind of a funny story how we met. He's a musician, I'm a musician, I was a touring musician. I traveled across the United States many, many years, and he was a musician that pretty much stayed in the Dallas area. But when my son went to elementary school, they didn't have a school song. And my songwriting partner, his fiance, was the music teacher of that school. Okay? And she was supposed to write the school song. Well, my wife came home, because she was a PTA president, and she said, "Hey, this school doesn't have a school song. Will you write one?" So I wrote one for the school, and the school teacher, the music teacher, had to learn it, had to play it, and she played it for her boyfriend at the time, her fiance, who happened to be Paul Gandolfi. So the first thing Paul played was a song that I wrote, and then we went out, and I listened to his music, he listened to my music, and we became friends and started writing together. And then along the way, we decided we would get involved in musicals. We also have done PBS, Nova. We've had three or four big soundtracks that we've done for national spots, that kind of thing. But advice is, as far as being a songwriter goes, songwriting comes from a very magical place.
Yeah.
I think you either have it or you don't. People can get samples, and they can listen to other musicians, and they can take parts of other people's stuff and put it together, and that doesn't make them truly a songwriter. That makes them an assembler of sounds and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Songwriting is the blank piece of paper. It's the from out of the air and from out of your heart and out of your mind, and that it's very God-driven. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, do you want to maybe talk about like the future in technology, not just in music, but...
Well, technology plays a very important part in everything that's happening these days. I don't think it's all good either. I happen to think that the iPhone, the smartphone, has kind of isolated some people from talking to each other. I kind of miss the interaction. I don't make that many phone calls now. It's all texting, you know?
Yeah.
And it would be really nice if we could communicate better with each other. And I think maybe the millennials, the new generation of kids out there, are starting to lose some social skills about how to meet someone and talk to someone and that kind of thing. But getting back to music, it takes a long time to do a big project. For Hamilton, for instance, big, huge musical, it took 7 years from, you know, a guy sitting in a room, just came back from his vacation, he read the book about Hamilton, and he started writing. And 7 years later, it became Hamilton on Broadway. That's the thing, being a musician, that's kind of tough. Now, did he need technology? You betcha he did. Because to get your ideas down, you've got to record them. You've got to keep them. And lots of great songs are lost because you're walking down the beach one day and you hum a tune and you say, "Ooh, that would be a really good musician. I could really make some music out of that." And then you didn't have your iPhone with you, for instance, where you can record it on your phone, and then when you go back to your house, play it and record it and all that kind of stuff, but then where would it be? So technology is really helping out in that way.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you can go to Tips on Apple Devices website, because we released something about the Phone Courtesy Month, which is in July, and it's basically about phone overuse and kind of what Terry was talking about, how it's affected your social skills and things like that.
But, thank you. I will go there myself and look at it. Sure.
Yeah, but on the music topic, I already see it being integrated with more of my playing. So, like, I use an online metronome and see plenty of people having the notes they look on, like, on a device or something or an iPad. And I played in a concert in San Francisco the other day. It was a few weeks ago, I think, here, and it's in the Botanical Gardens in Golden Gate Park here in San Francisco, and it's called Flower Piano, and many pianists come out and perform for a lot of people, and there's hidden pianos all throughout the gardens there. And what I saw is so many people were looking at their music, their notes, on phones or iPads that they had brought there. So I already see it, you know, being implemented in more music. I'm sure you even see it more.
Yeah, there's several programs that Broadway shows use in their pits where they all use iPads. They will move up and down in the score as the music is played, to where the musicians know where they're at. Funny stories, though, happen is sometimes they forget to keep their iPad on, and if it goes blank in the middle of the show, well, you're kind of out of luck, you know, so you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
But there's programs now that are really pretty effective. My son plays in a pit band, and he uses his iPad to read as they do the show. Because, of course, it's lighted. They're usually in a darkened environment down below the stage, and it's much easier to read the notes that way, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Terry, I want to thank you for answering my questions, taking your time to do that. And
it was my pleasure.
And it was a pleasure having you on the podcast. And Yellow Rose musical, the Legend of Emily West, will be August 5th, right?
Yep.
So you can go to their Facebook page and find out more.
Okay.
And I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to this episode. To learn more, you can go to toadeyeservice.wix.com/website. And if you'd like to sign up, you could go to our website or email us. If you don't know what Toad is, basically, it's a completely free service where we help people to fix issues that they have with their iPhone, iPad, computers, other tech devices. And we also give tips and how-tos on things you should do. We personally sit down with people to help them. And if you're getting a new device, then we can help you with that too. So we encourage you to sign up if you haven't already. And I'd like to and also thank everyone who favorited our podcast so on Anchor. But anyway, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.